Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Hello and welcome to the Draft Doctors, and isn't it wonderful, AFL M, the big M, it's back. Don't want to say it, footy's back because I could get into trouble. Scott Pendlebury style, and I wouldn't want to have to start off strampling myself. And of course, we've got our fantastic guests as always. I'm joined by my longtime partner in crime, Jono Crockett. How you doing, bud?
Good, thanks, Steve. G'day, boys. It is good to have the AFL men's back. Caught a couple of games this week and look forward to bringing some of the things that I saw at the games over the weekend.
Amazingly, you actually attended a real game of football, which I find heinous.
Two games of football. I've hit my quota for the year and I'm done.
Why would you put yourself through that misery twice?
Well, the Melbourne game is 10 minutes from my place, so why not? And yep. The other one was catching up with Cam, who was down in Melbourne, so again, why not?
See, even more reason to stay at home. Unbelievable scenes. I am joined, of course, by the great man. He is blessing us with his presence tonight, wearing a nice big Tasmanian T-shirt. The secret meetings are taking place between the Statesman and the AFL to create the Tasmanian AFL team. How are you, mate?
I'll be the last person they come and speak to about that, to be fair. But it's great to have the old crew back. Let's hope we don't have any interruptions by this younger lot.
Yeah, what's with them? Them and their ways. It's a bit much, but of course there's a lot of footy. Footy kicked off. Thankfully so far, no massive long-term injuries, which I think it's really good. And you always see a few during the preseason, and touch wood, we've managed to escape them. Statesman, why don't you kick us off with the first few things you've noticed from the Marsh series, and hopefully we can touch on a few of them in a bit of detail in what it means for your draft leagues.
Yeah, firstly, Marsh series, well, at least round one, and there's certainly no tags. So if you actually put it into perspective, because I saw a few people getting quite excited, but the Bont scored 151, Oliver 123, and Lockie Neal 162. All these types of games would have received some attention in the home and away season, not so much in the March. So just hold off the re-ranks just yet. Really important to realise that no one's closing down this time of the year. You're looking how it's all working. If that was round two and Bonts had scored 80-odd by half-time, then there's a tag going on to Bont to tame down his influence on the game. The second thing was reading the more different and more opportunity roles that were actually happening on the weekend. I'll just rattle off a few that just be careful you don't get trapped a little bit. So Luke Dunstan, 88 from 79 minutes. Rory Atkins, 97, but be mindful that Brad Crouch had 87 minutes, Matt Crouch had 78 minutes, and Rory Sloan only had 44 minutes in the game. So yes, might have been having a fair bit of that sort of midfield opportunity, but is that going to be real when it comes season proper? Will Brody, 104, Stephen Motlop, a ton, and Geelong scores full stop with Duncan, Selwood, Parfitt and Menegola all missing that match. It'll just be interesting to see what type of roles. I mean, even Charlie Constable was actually seen on the halfback flank. Now, do I think that's real? Of course it's not. If he's actually going to get a game with Geelong, you think he'll be part of that, what his role is, which is an inside midfielder. It's like seeing Jacob Hopper running around on the halfback flank. It isn't real. They're trialing all these different things out, but don't get sucked into it, especially when you're looking at your rankings. Stay fat with your rankings until you see a dynamic role. So the moral of those first 2 points is don't go too hard on Marsh 1. Despite this, my number three was I was excited to see three players' performances on the weekend. And they are big bulls with forward status, and they look like they're ready to take the next step. One of them through opportunity, The other two is just the natural development, and it's time for them to hit their peak. Christian Petrarca, number one, 145 from 86% game time. Hugh Greenwood looked quite dynamic, 114 from his 82% game time. And one that didn't play a lot of game time, less than 60%, was Jade Gresham. Looked absolutely spectacular, and he could blitz away a game. If those roles do stay, so the mixture between forward and that midfield, I can see all three of them having breakouts this year.
With the Gresham one, you've got Hanbury, Zach Jones missing that. Do you think that's... I don't even know what his splits was on that Thursday night game, but do you think it would be more forward time than midfield time, or with his age, he gets that more mid time than forward time, or it's just going to be bang 50-50?
He just looked dynamic in there.
Yeah.
He just looked like a game breaker, and when you find a game breaker, you use him.
Yeah, and that was the thing. I had Track as my one to watch, and they actually had Tommy Sparrow running in as that third midfielder, so you might think that's going to be Angus Brayshaw's role when he comes back either for the second game or the first game. So it does look like Petrarca might stay in that midfield more permanently, and he did go forward and kick two or three goals as well, so things are looking up for Track.
Yeah, I think the I was probably sceptical on Greenwood, obviously, coming into the season.
Hated him.
I had him reasonably ranked. It wasn't super unfair. McPherson was right down, which was weird because he was my boy when he came off the waivers originally, like a couple of years ago. But yeah, I think Greenwood's really interesting because it didn't seem like the Suns were missing a great deal. We know they ran a massive spread of guys through there last year to find things out. Do you think they've just targeted Hugh Greenwood in the offseason and said, you know what, he's going to be a piece, and maybe it's just hugely bad news for a guy like Tuk Miller or even David Swallow, maybe?
Yeah, there's a lot to go through there, and the old mouths to feed's going to be an issue, but he's there for a role, and it's only Marsh one, but it looked like the role is his right at this point, and they probably didn't really have that big body, so they had some good up-and-comers. They had some people that could find a lot of the footy, but they didn't have the big ball, and that's what his role was, and that's what he'd done so very well. So, look, at this point, I'm going, okay, they wanted him for a reason, and that's the way they're going to use him. So,
yeah,
in my eyes, his stocks went up.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And I think Gresham's a really interesting one as well, because like we saw St Kilda, there were so many moving pieces, obviously bringing in veteran players and young developing talent. It's a tough mix to get a read on. But Gresham was one who really popped for the consistency charts. If you've been reading Michael Barrard's articles on we've been posting on the website, Jade Gresham really popped for consistency. Is that just he's just that good? Even when he was playing forward, he was managing the score.
Yeah, well, I go back to a conversation that Footy Rhino had with a St Kilda official, and I think his question was, "Name me your best two players in 5 years," and he mentioned two names. The official did, in Gresham and Battle, and I think Rhino got really excited about Battle because the reality defender status. Hadn't had a lot of the pills. He's not on people's radars. I think he averaged 59 last year. But after what I saw on the weekend, I actually understood why they were talking about Gresham. Just looked smooth, looked like a bull, and just dynamic. So all of a sudden, you get a player in that midfield mix. And look, Brad Hill looked very good too. And we know he can play exceptional footy, but it just looked like their mix was a bit better.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, fair enough. And what do you do with them in the ranks? Like that's the big question fantasy coaches want to know now. Does any go into the top 10 forwards? Were they there? I don't think we had any of them there originally. I've moved them up slightly. Not quite top 10, but just knocking on the door.
Yeah, I certainly think they've gone up a tier.
Yeah.
I think I was pretty high on Track anyway. I had him in the teens, mid-teens anyway, so he'd probably get a slight bump out just outside the top 10, as you said.
Oh, I was talking more fantasy. Obviously, fantasy, Track has been pretty good for Supercoach.
20. I think I had him in maybe the 20s track. So, yeah, probably goes up into those teen, in the teen bracket.
I think the biggest problem with a performance like that is if you're doing a draft tomorrow, then those guys shoot right up. So all of a sudden they're probably undervalued to what they're going to produce this year. Now they're almost going to be overvalued. So you can imagine Petrarca actually being one of the first six forwards picked, because there's not a lot in that second and third tier.
What happens next week if, say, Dugowie comes out and does the same sort of thing? And you know what I mean? Like, they're not all going to do it every week, and their roles are going to change during the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's a really interesting one. Jono, why don't you take us through what you noticed?
It is T-Mac season, fellas. Get on board, T-Mac. He was actually pretty good. The D's got Mitch Brown into that team, and he was actually a pretty good second folly to T-Mac, even though Mitch Brown did kick a couple of snags himself. I'm looking to get T-Mac into my team because he presented well, took a lot of contested marks, and that's all he's going to need to do. And he averaged in the 60s, high 60s, low 70s last year. You're not going to be thinking about him, but watching him yesterday live, he looked really good, fit. Didn't wear any strapping, so I'm looking to grab him late. You probably get him late in my team next year. It's a hard luck story for Lipinski and Bailey Smith at the Bulldogs. Bevo's just going to be rolling out that top three every week. I know Bailey Smith scored pretty well. He scored an 80 in Supercoach and 75 in AFL Fantasy, but that was off the back of 9 tackles, so not really sure if it's something that can be sustained over the season. And Lipinski did his thing. He accumulated inside and outside, but getting that permanent midterm is going to be hard. They're just going to be the second stringers. So not going to really be pushing too much for them in my teams this year. And North Melbourne, they just looked horrible, absolutely horrible, and I don't want any part of them.
I got a question for our North, because we sort of saw Scott Thompson left, and he was a pretty good intercepting defender, probably handy in your super coach leagues. And we sort of thought, oh, maybe Majak could come in, but they recruited Josh Walker, and he scored, man. He scored really at a number of stops.
And it's a good thing Cam's not here, because Cam was just banging on him about Walker the whole fucking night, so... he was good. Madge was pretty solid, and I noticed that actually freed up Jamie McMillan to go on to the wing, and he was actually, his starting position was on the wing there, so he might get a little bit more time there this season. I reckon I saw him maybe half a dozen times lining up on the wing position from the CBA, so one to watch there. And the way the Melbourne wing has worked was actually pretty good. Their go-to man is going to be Ed Langdon. They were trying to funnel the ball through him, whereas Tomlinson was that seventh defender. He'd sit on the corner and just run straight into defence. So Langdon's the one you're going to be looking for in your AFL fantasy scoring, mainly because he's not really good at super coach.
No, on account of...
No contested pill whatsoever.
Well, yeah, there's none of that either. And it's one thing I wanted to talk about is... the game time, and North Melbourne were another one of those teams who just, they didn't have anyone play a lot of game time aside from Sean Attlee. Basically, everyone else was sort of, 79% or under. It's really hard to score well when you're not on the park.
Yeah, it's true. I didn't really notice the rotations when I was there, but it just seemed like also North were just plodding along in like first gear. Just, let's have a game, whatever, and then we'll amp it up next week maybe.
Yeah. They still sent Goldie into the ruck a lot.
Well, if Goldie goes down, looks like they've got Tristan Zeri ready to rock and roll, but he will get monstered by the your more dominant ruckman.
Stato, did you have any thoughts on what Jono's just waffled on about?
Yeah, after last season, I just won't touch T-Mac. No offence. I didn't like him going into last year, and he bombed for you guys then, and I know he's a bit more of a super coach player, but no thanks. And I think also my hot take's going to come true. Bevo's given one round of this so far. Let's see if it can go for 24 rounds, two in the marsh and 22 in the home and away. Just keeping the good mids in the mid.
yeah, that was actually my my first point is that the Dogs are actually settled. They've made a couple of, I think, key recruits, like bringing across Keith and Bruce the forward line. So they don't really have any reason to start experimenting. They look on paper a really settled team. It's like English is ready to be the ruckman. The mids are all in their prime. They've got mature defenders. They've got mature forwards. It seems like there's no reason for them to be throwing guys around aside from, you know, the guys who are going to be coming off the bench and playing on the wing. And even the wing, like Lockie Hunter, like, holy hell, he's a star. So it seems like they should be settled on paper. Can we actually have faith in Bevo?
I think we can.
Yeah, I think we can too. Interesting though, and I know it was a massive game and it's not the type we're going to see repeated too often, but Bont's won 50. So the interesting part was Bont and McRae and Hunter got so much of that footy, they were controlling it so well. It didn't actually leave a lot for Dunkley. So he still scored okay, but he had 108 minutes on the ground and scored 99.
Yeah, nine tackles will get you there.
Yeah, so I just think, if they do stay all there and one of them really shoots out, I think the others just go, they're not going to hurt you by any stretch of the imagination, but there's only so much midfield pill that comes, and you've got three absolute magnets inside, so Bontz, McRae and Dunkley. So your person outside's probably going to do pretty well, but all three of them aren't going to score 120 plus.
No, and the teams who do that are the teams who take massive amounts of marks, like GWS and Collingwood, and the Bulldogs didn't come close to 90. So, like, if they're all going to be great fantasy assets, they really need to be in more of a kick mark setup, which that doesn't feel like the Bulldogs.
No, it's a run and gun more style anyway. Get there directly, so.
Oh, my God, what's just appeared on the screen? Look at people. He's up and about. It's Marsh series. That means the jobbers are getting a go, and if there's anyone who loves a 19-year-old who's going to spend the year in the Magoos and drafting him in the 12th round, it's Doss. He's here. Doss, welcome.
G'day, Stevie. Yeah, it's so true. I'm bloody loving the Marsh series. I've put a few notes in my book. I'm ready to overdraft a few people.
Perfect. Why don't you tell us what you noticed on this weekend of great fantasy football action and real football action?
I noticed that I buy into the hype too much after seeing about 2 minutes of action, Stevie, pretty much how it is. I don't know. You guys are much better at noticing the big picture. I really do just see the players. I'm like, oh, look at that guy. I think it's a lot harder and to tell this week, and hopefully next games will be a bit more telling of where teams are going. What have you guys talked about so far? Like, was there any big ones for you?
Bailey Smith, we shit-canned him. Fiorini,
Bailey Williams, we shit-canned him.
Bailey Williams, yeah. Shit-canned him.
Oh, he was good. Josh he was Battle, all right. We shit-canned him.
Yeah, whatever.
We've touched on the Dogs are settled, North are shit, and the big forward movers in CP5. Hugh Greenwood Terrible. And Jade Gresham.
The reason we do these nicknames is for like some rhythm or like something just that's catchy, Steve. How does CP5 work? Tell me that.
Well, because it's like
from his basketball.
CP3, yeah.
Yeah, but CP, P rhymes with 3. What is it? CP5?
Because he wears number 5.
Do we call Dan Houston DH5 now? Is that what we're going with that?
Maybe we should. Sounds
That's
good.
That's not bad.
Sounds like a wrestling move, actually.
G-dubs.
Hit him with the DH5.
He looked like a D5 for about half the game, then he sort of kicked into
Ooh.
Gear.
Oh, throwing shade on Houston, the hype of the century. What else you got for us, Doss? What else did you notice?
Rosie, as advertised, 94 fantasy, dropped a ton in your favourite super coach format, 108. How much time on ground do you think he spent there, Steve?
I don't know.
57% like time on ground.
Because he got knocked out.
Yeah, and he still dropped a ton. Ah, thank you.
Steve Motlop scored a ton as well.
And Charlie Dixon.
Yeah.
And Charlie Dixon.
Yeah, fair point.
So, And any other pearls of wisdom?
That's probably it.
probably it. Okay, back to me. The Pride of Portland. Not me, Rowan Marshall. Mm. I want to dive into this because he's going to be up. He's in the mix for the 3-6 range, the R3-6 range. And he actually scored reasonably well against what can only be described as a ordinary Hawthorn backline. He did kick a couple goals to get there as well. So 92 Dream Team, 117 Super Coach. I'm really cool on the Pride. It seems like they want to use him forward, and it doesn't seem like that's going to change. He'll have some weeks where he kicks a couple goals, but he's going to have some lean weeks where he's going to drop you an 80. What are we thinking about the Pride going forward? I just can't draft him where he's going.
Yeah, I was throwing a bit of shade on him in the first half, but he really pumped out a good second half, score-wise, of 60-odd points in the second half, which is a good sign. The bad sign was actually kicking those two late goals, because that only reaffirms of him going forwards actually going to be a good move for the club. But I will say he did look good, and so did Paddy Ryder, to be honest. He looked like he had a fair bit of spring about him, but he only scored 52 from 88 minutes. So whether those two just share a really good score between them, which is not going to be fantastic for owners, I think we've been, to be honest, a little bit cool on him, and at the moment, nothing what I saw on the weekend has changed that.
Could he potentially be an okay Super Coach pick if he's going to clunk a contested mark, kick a goal?
Absolutely. But he doesn't do a lot of the hit-outs to advantage, though, which is what probably hurts you in Super Coach a bit.
Yeah.
Rowan Marshall able to kick those late goals without the fullback Ben McAvoy in action. went out pretty early there. I actually thought that game was interesting for the Rucks as well, because they played, it seemed like Clarko played Tim O'Brien to try and see if he could take that second ruck mantle and I don't know, maybe be the Segler to Segler this year, if that makes sense. The Segler to McAvoy. I don't know what I'm going to say. Anyway, you know what I mean.
2.0.
Tim O'Brien is going to try and be Segler to what Segler was to McAvoy, is what I meant. So,
and Segler didn't impress me on the weekend either, just quietly.
He didn't play much time on ground, though, I will say. He played 66% or so, but he wasn't that good.
47 points from 82 minutes isn't good, but he didn't look good.
Mm.
No.
Did he look like a journeyman ruck?
He certainly did.
A little bit.
He certainly did.
Give him a lot of credit. And the last thing was it was just on D-Mac and Greenwood. Both. I did say I didn't think they could both score good. They both scored good in this game. Will it happen consistently? I think it's really hard for Darcy McPherson to score consistently well without the centre bounces, though. I can't see them winning too many games by 12 goals. No offence, as a lifelong fan. Just seems really hard, and maybe just it's Greenwood season, and Darcy Mack's going to have some good games. He'll obviously be drafted, you know, especially on the back of a score like this.
Oh, absolutely. But let's, while he's not here, throw some shade on Cam's Geelong.
Yeah. I think they're just playing a... Chris Scott came out and said, we're going to try some new stuff. So I don't think he was too worried about the score. In a sense, it was more about maybe a structure set up. But
was the new stuff just not getting the footy?
Well, they wanted to move the ball quickly, so it obviously moved quickly into the Gold Coast forward 50s. So. But I reckon they'll tighten up for next week. I think they play Essendon, so we'll see what happens there.
I felt like
Knuckle did play quite well and score quite well as well. I think just under the ton on 83 minutes is... So that's something we're expecting from him. So we look, there's a couple of injuries at the moment, so there might be a bit of opportunity. Is he one that could actually jump up our draft boards?
Stato, I just looked at him before, and like he notched one AFL fantasy and two Supercoach tons in just those three last games of 2019 as well. And like you're saying, was pretty impressive in this game in limited time on ground. And I guess with how bad they performed, considering he had a pretty good game, it's going to keep him in good stead. I was interested. That seemed like Geelong's like D squad. So I want to see what they put out next time. Because like we saw, I was getting hashtag Scott out trending on at some point because Constable played on a halfback flank in the first half. And then he had 12 centre bounce attendances in the second half. So like you said before, he was just testing a few things. It seemed very strange, but Atkins was the one that got the most time on ground and the most midfield minutes. So who the hell knows what's happening?
Yeah.
And just on that Melbourne game, I do apologise to you, Steve. The James Harms defensive role is real. Played majority off the halfback for the whole game.
Yeah. It was interesting. It's one of those things that's going to happen. Don't think you draft as a position change thing, but I think it's a really nice tiebreaker.
Yeah. And Bryce Gibbs, enjoy the sand for this year, pal. You had him here.
Yeah. I actually had a couple of guys who I like late actually went okay. Like Viney went okay. Like full preseason, amazing what it can do for someone.
70% time on ground, 120 super coach, 110 AFL fantasy, took a lot of CBAs. It was very good.
Yeah, so it's there's a lot going on, a bit of shuffling on the board. I put Narkle just whilst we were on him before Jono interrupted. I actually did move him into a draftable range, like I think it was like in the 80s. It's just it's only the pure mid status, like it kind of hurts. But maybe if Selwood's injury lingers, reappears, Duncan the same, you can only play well whilst you're out there, and if no one else is out there, then you're something. Whew, lots to unpack. Make sure you follow us on the Twitters at the Draft Doctors. We're on the Facebook. We're on the Instagram, apparently. Doss, what's going on Instagram?
I'm just bumping up the followers, just bumping up our social profile there, Fizz. Just the standard.
Yeah, nice. Don't understand it myself, being an almost 40-year-old bloke. And make sure you check out all the great articles. We've got all the consistency rankings from our new scribe, Michael. Get over and show him the love. He's certainly putting out some great pieces, something that I don't really think's been done before, so very interesting for draft coaches. And, of course, check out the draft kit and the mock draft simulator, which is really... I adjusted my ranks today, Jono, tighten things up.
I'll be doing mine on Monday, so... All good.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. We went this whole time without talking about T. Mitchell.
Yeah, he's all right.
Just
good.
He's okay.
He's okay. He got through the game.
He's not seeing number 7 in any AFL fantasy draft.
No.
Just came out, dominated, went and had a breather, hot dog, Coke, no worries. But Jono, last Wednesday, we took part in a very interesting experiment. We'd never been part of it before. It was like a Fox Footy Herald Sun draft. You were in the war room. I was at home breaking the first tenet, the first commandment, if you will, of our draft doctor's law, and that is don't draft drunk. I was absolutely shit-faced. Our Twitter profile will confirm that. I don't know what happens. As soon as I got a skin full of piss into me and I'm on the computer, I have to start listening to Carly Rae Jepsen's Don't Call Me, Is It Maybe or Baby? Just like ad nauseum. Like, holy shit. That song's pretty fire. But what was the war room like, Jono? You were obviously in there with some... the Phantom was on the phone. Leck was there.
Supercoach Page,
Patton and all the guys. So what happened?
Well, can I say from someone outside looking in and watching the vision, the war room actually looked like inside of a KFC.
G'day to KFC Australia, yes, proudly sponsored by. And if you were watching the Facebook Live, I was front and centre just stuffing my face with chicken nuggets and... That was me while drafting a pretty good team. It was really good, actually. A lot of good people there. Obviously, a lot of them were more from the salary cap background, so drafting teams in as if it were a salary cap team. So people like Petraka went pretty early. Goldstein was going early. Whereas in a non-captain's league, I think Steve and I, you were the only ones just stashing mids left, right, and centre. And I think by end of round 9 or 10, I had my full midfield and a midfield bench ready to go, basically before my third forward. So I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, when you're drafting against people you don't know or you haven't drafted against, it's always interesting. And I just had the sense that rucks were going to peel off the board like, you know, nuggets were going down your chops, mate. And that was exactly happened. I think 7 rucks went in the first 5 rounds and you had about 20
nuggets. There was 23 nuggets. There was 2 left by the end of the night.
By the end of the second round, I heard. but it's always interesting because the temptation is to fall into line and grab a ruck. And I'm just sitting there peeling off mids. I drafted my 6th midfielder before I drafted a D3, which I kind of regret in hindsight. But do you have your squad up? Because I'd be interested to see how you feel about your squad.
Yeah,
I certainly don't.
Pretty happy with
the
squad.
I looked at mine today.
And
I think you drafted really well compared to what I did.
Well, you know, Steve, you and I like to draft on the ancient technology that is papers, but this is all on laptops, which is foreign concept to me. But I did have my bits of papers and had a quick roughing of my tiers and that, and trying to cross them off. But it was moving pretty fast, the draft. So like those blokes like Taylor Adams and Hurley, I thought, oh, there's some good value. I might grab them. They'd already gone off the boards. But here's my team. Starting off with the defenders, I've got Zach Williams, Luke Ryan, Matty Suckling, Alex Keith, and Jaden Short as my back 5.
That's so it's a fucking massive defense in a 12-team non-captains league.
Yeah, it's a 5-7-1-5, 12-team, no captain. So I was pretty stuck with that. And Matty Suckling I got as my 3rd defender, round 12 or something like that. So I was pretty stoked with that. The midfield, Jack McRae, which I got with pick 3, Scotty Pendlebury, Matty Crouch, Seb Ross, James Harms, O'Meara, and Joel Selwood.
There's a fucking huge midfield as well. Where are you weak, Jono?
I would say the rucks and the forwards are pretty, pretty horrible.
Let's get to this yet to come.
Let's get to this shit show then.
All right, the ruck is Sam Jacobs. Got in round 16-17, so I was trying to go for Tim English, but Paige picked him up the round before. My forward lines, Darcy McPherson, looking pretty good now in round 13 or 14. Jack Martin.
Oh, that's all right.
Handsome Tom Lynch, Tex Walker, and Johnny Patton, who did turn up on the Thursday.
A good team.
And the bench is Zach Tui, Carl Amon, Paul Seedsman, and auto-drafted Rory Lobb. And it's actually not a bad pick because if Sean Darcy's injured, hello, Rory Lobb.
He's not injured.
He's not injured? No. All right.
And no, hello, Rory Lobb.
No, I'd trash that. That was but still, I mean, that is a massive team, man. That is huge. I tip my hat to you. It really came together for you. We can roll through my piece of crap. I got Basher Hooley, Brody Smith, Harry Cunningham, Hurley, and Nathan Jones.
Jeez, Harry Cunningham is a D3. It's
interesting,
Doss.
He sits. I'm Steve.
No, but I'm hinting at Doss for a reason, and I think he knows why.
No, but the way you draft isn't the way they sit on the field isn't the way you drafted them. It's where their average was from last year.
Ah,
so,
right,
yeah.
He went much later, but I had the dreaded pick 5. I couldn't imagine a worse pick in a non-captain Supercoach league. Absolutely, the worst pick you could get, because what happens is Gawn, Grundy, Whitfield, McRae, they just peel off the board. So you're picking
Mitchell.
Essentially, I picked Dangerfield, man.
Yeah, that's good.
I got Danger pretty high, but the problem is, like, Josh Dunkley went pick 14. I don't care if either of them are my M1. They're all in the same tier for me. So, look, I picked the guy I like. I got Zach Merritt, Cornelio, Taylor Adams, Tom Rockliffe, Jared Berry, Angus Brayshaw in the midfield. Sean Darcy, the ruck, so I'm pretty happy with that. Jeremy Cameron, Jack Darling, Johnny Seggs, Shai Bolton, JJK as the forwards. On the bench, Henderson, Wines, Phillips, and I picked up Fantasia after Norton had surgery. So the interesting thing about this league, Jono, and maybe you can tell me if this is cagey or not, we're not playing the first 2 weeks.
No, we start round 3.
Starting round 3. So I was like, man, Ollie Wines in like round 17 or something.
Well, I was actually looking at Wines and I'm like, nah, pass, I'll get him. And then I'm just like, ah, bugger, someone else would just... Like, I was talking to one of the other guys across the board. I'm like, he goes, oh, I need a midfield. I'm like, well, all he wants is sitting there, man. He goes, oh, yeah, I'll get him. And he timed out and got someone auto-drafted. So, and that's when you jagged him.
Yeah, I thought it was super interesting, though. And like, there was one team, I don't think they drafted midfielder till round six.
Yeah, first.
Like, their M1 was Sam Walsh.
Yeah. Round six and, yeah, first mid was Sam Walsh. But I can't even remember who he's picking up. I think he got the forwards and the defenders there in his team. But you need those mids.
You think that's what he did?
I never saw his team.
You think he got other positions?
No, but he was going for the top. You know what I mean? Son of a bitch.
Didn't like it. Any other final thoughts, boys? I didn't ask any questions this week because we're a bit all over the shop tonight. But any final thoughts? Like to do it.
Vegemite shapes, yes or no?
No.
Never had them? Okay. Well, I'm a yes. They're good.
I
like them.
My final thoughts was I didn't really contribute a whole heap to this podcast.
Oh, that's what we think every week.
That's the same. Did you hit record at least?
Oh, shit. Yeah, of course I did.
Doss, what's your thoughts on Carly Rae Jepsen's...
call me baby.
Don't call me baby.
Terrible tune.
That guy has big nipples in the film clip, man. Like, he's a buff dude, but those nipples.
I can't say I've checked it out.
No,
man. There's a lot of players I liked from this weekend, but just too many to
it's
go
It's round
through.
One.
Too many
Take
to
it with
go
a grain
through.
Of salt.
Yeah.
Take it with a grain
Doss,
of salt.
Doss, you just posted the CBA article again. Seems redundant now everyone else is doing it, but...
Well, hopefully.
If people are out there wanting CBA articles, Doss has put it up on the website, so check it out. Boost his ego.
Please do.
With comments.
With comments.
Unlike the others, we have comments.
It's West off season.
I was going to wrap it up. It's West off. It's Latham season. It's never not Latham season. But that'll do it for this week. Nice short, sharp episode. Footy's back. AFL, big M's back. Stato, you had your hand up.
No, it was just goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll see you next week for more footy.